Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track, and the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this beautiful Saturday morning up here at Saratoga. Seth Merrow live from our Clare Court location. Horses have been working out behind us all morning long. It is a gorgeous morning up here at Saratoga. If you're planning to come to the races, nice card, nice day. So keep that in mind for a little bit later on. Later on the show, we'll be joined by our friend Jeff Carl, former jockey, former trainer. He's doing some handicapping for the Gazette this summer. We'll talk some races this afternoon with Jeff and more. A little bit later on, Travis Stone in the house. He'll talk some races for this afternoon as well, do a little handicapping. Of course, the announcer, Donna Churchill, will get a little update on all of that as well a little bit later. But with one of the favorites this afternoon, I thought we'd invite in Norm Cassie to talk a little bit about rhyme schemes, but also having a really good Saratoga meet. So we'll talk about that as well. Norm, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You know what? I went back and I looked at Echo Base last night to kind of look at your stats and whatnot. You've been out on your own for like 5 years now. I was thinking it was like 2 years ago.
I know. Time flies when you're having fun, right? Yeah, this is actually, I consider this being basically the 5.5 year mark. It's not six because I started it basically at the end of April. But, yeah, we're rolling right along.
And for folks who aren't familiar, you were an assistant to your father, Mark Cassie, for quite a while before going out on your own. I'm curious, now you've been out on your own for a while and doing very well. Anything unexpected on the, you know, trainer side of things? Because you worked for your father for so long, I'm sure you saw most everything. But anything surprise you going out on your own?
Not really. I think I was really well prepared. I kind of had, you know, you're around it long enough, the horse stuff just comes naturally. Yeah. So that was always going to be the easy part. Running a business is difficult from time to time. The hardest thing for me personally was sitting out all the weekends and all the big races. You get so used and accustomed to being racing every day and being involved in all the big races that the sport has to offer, and you have to take a back seat for a little while. And really, I think that was the hardest part of the entire transition, was just an emotional deal more than anything else.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. But yeah, you're working for your dad. You were out there on the weekends, but you're back at the weekends now. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I also want to remind people, you're married to Gabby Gaudette. I asked you when you sat down how she was doing, and you're expecting your second child. That's got to be an exciting part of life, too.
We're very grateful and fortunate. We have a beautiful son. He turns 2 in November, and then our second child is due September 29th, and we're really looking forward to his arrival.
Give me some action in the Cassie house.
I savor my alone time now, we'll put it that way.
And talk about your summer. Are you popping back and forth? Or
basically, I mean, the majority of the horses in the stable are still based at Churchill. It's probably have 35, 36 horses there. So it's a little bit more important for me to be here, the majority of the time. But I come up here on the weekends when we have runners and big time breezes.
Where are you stabled up here?
Over on the Oklahoma side.
You like it over there?
I do. They put us right in the middle where we can train on the main track and it not be a big inconvenience. And I'm sure we'll get into the fact that we've had a pretty good meet so far. Yeah. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that kind of changed things up. I decided to start training a little bit more on the main track. And I don't know, it could be a complete coincidence, but it seems to be working out right now.
That's interesting. How do you make those decisions? And I've had some trainers in this year, and I'm intrigued training strategies. Do you often work in company?
It just depends on the horse. My barn's basically babies, and so you're starting off fresh. I like working out. I understand the significance of working out with a training partner that's going to push you a little bit harder. So I like to put the horses together with horses that are very similar in talent level and let them push each other while they're working.
Yeah, and that also helps the mental aspect, particularly with the babies, I would imagine.
You almost have to do it. The only time you'll ever see me work a horse solo is basically if it's a first half mile back from a race, or if you just have a horse that's just ultra aggressive, breezing, and you just don't want to do too much with them. And I won't. But I'd say 95% of the time I'm working horses and company.
How are you deciding Oklahoma or Main Track?
Just basically I looked at what I've done the last two or three years and wasn't happy with the level of success that we were having and decided to make a switch and changed a lot of other things too, though. At Churchill Downs, which is where I'm based at and where, you know, I'm most comfortable, you can breeze horses really hard there. You almost need to breeze horses hard there. You come up here, you need to change your mindset altogether. This is a much more deep and demanding racetrack.
Oh,
you don't want to do a whole lot of flashy stuff in the morning because basically you're going to go over in the afternoon and be a little bit over the top. So we've just trained a lot or changed a lot of the way that we did things when we came up here.
And I guess that's part of being a trainer, to be open to being flexible when something's not working quite right, tinker a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's probably the hardest part is about Saratoga is you're, at least for me, and I'm not running that often here, you don't have a big sample size. You know, you're only here 6 weeks. You're trying to figure it out. You're not really getting a good gauge on anything, and it's just going to take years coming up here to really figure the place out, I think. And hopefully, you know, some of the changes we've made have turned things around.
Well, and again, you come from a horse racing background, and your dad's been around for years and has raced here for years, so I guess you can bend his ear if you have to.
I do. I'm telling you, it's just a hard, hard place. And I like to feel confident. It's hard to be confident bringing one over here.
And you aren't alone there. Saratoga is tough for everybody. But let's get into it. I alluded to it earlier. You have a weekend horse here, Saratoga Special this afternoon, Rhyme Schemes. We are going to look at the maiden breaker down at Ellis. Rhyme Schemes is going to be the number two horse here. You come out a big margin of victory, but a big buyer of 94. Talk a little bit about this performance and what are your expectations for this afternoon?
You know, ever since he ran at Ellis that day, he's trained forwardly. I'm not apprehensive about the way he's coming into the race. First race that he ran at Churchill, we just gave him a start, figured out that he needed the blinkers. That seemed to put him more in the bridle, more into the race. I don't know if the buyer number's a little prettied up because there was a bit of a speed bias the first weekend at Ellis Park. But I look at it, he beat a lot of nice horses, a lot of well-meant horses that day.
And, 10-horse field.
And he's not a need-to-lead type. He just ran everybody off their feet that day. So I'm bringing over a horse that I can be pretty confident about, but it's horse racing, and you just, at the end of the day, you just don't know.
How did you make the blinkers decision, and did you work before that race in the blinkers?
Yeah, so just basically after his first start, it was pretty obvious. He was on and off the bridle, or what we like to call running spotty. Just an obvious horse racing 101. This horse needs blinkers. So we come back, we give him two easy half miles, but put the blinkers on, and you could tell it made a big difference.
Yeah, very good. And again, had the 94 buyer. I said during the handicapping show earlier, you can go back 20 points probably and still win the race today based on that. But as a trainer, do you look at the buyers? Do you look at any of the other numbers?
You look at them all. I think you can. There's pros and cons to all of them. I'm a big advocate for the buyers. I love using a thorough manager. It's a really good program that kind of has everything right in front of you all the time. But either way, it's to me just because of the way that the track was playing at Ellis that opening weekend. I'm trying to hold down my expectations a little bit. It's just more about who he beat that day and how he beat him, and it's not necessarily about, you know, the flashy buyer number or the time or anything like that. It's just the way he handled that particular group of horses was what really has us excited.
Yeah, for a two-year-old that time of year, it is a gaudy number, so we'll see what Rhyme Schemes can do today, certainly. You know, nice little salty field of six, but as I say, given what we've seen, he can go regress buyer figure-wise and probably have an edge. What are your expectations?
Just going over there and hoping that he runs his race. It's like, you know, I alluded to it too earlier. I like coming over with confidence. It's just at this place, for whatever reason, you're already worrying about the worst case scenarios, and it's only here that I'm like that for whatever reason. So if he runs his race, he should run well, but you just don't know at a place like this.
Well, we wish you a lot of good luck with him this afternoon. I also, as I was looking, you know, on Equibase, I saw you had a horse in the stakes race tomorrow at Ellis, Twirling Queen in the debutante. So I wanted some thoughts there as well for folks who may be looking at a little Ellis action tomorrow. We're going to look at the maiden breaker here for Twirling Queen. What are your thoughts?
This filly, the race that I ran her in, it was a perfect spot. It was a maiden auction race. It came up probably 2 or 3 weeks earlier than I would have liked. I think she just got tired really late. I didn't do a whole lot with her before her first start. And I just feel like she's been training so much better going into this one. It's a salty race.
That's a gutsy win, though. Kind of holds off. Doesn't give up.
And I was very happy with the effort, especially considering I thought that we were probably two or three weeks short, you know, of being 100%. I just think the thing that most excites me about her is just the way that she's been breezing since that race. She's been outworking a lot of our nice horses. It's a salty group tomorrow, but I know she's going to have a nice forward position, and the way she's been training, she has a big chance to win.
Nice. So we'll look for that one also. Then I wanted to go back to yesterday because you mentioned it. Yesterday on the handicapping show every day, I do a Dark Horse Play of the Day brought to you by the Dark Horse Mercantile in downtown Saratoga. Yesterday was Catalina Crush, who I thought just had some really nice win early breeding, had the 10 flat work before the sale. We're going to take a look yesterday. But again, you can come up here with a really nice two-year-old, and everybody else might have a monster as well. You wind up running third behind the Fletcher Winner Trust Fund. But I thought she ran very well. I thought she was going to get by and finish second. Catalina Crush is the number 8 in here. Again, it was a debut effort. What are your thoughts for her and what might be going forward?
I thought we ran the best horse in the race. He got away from the gate slow. He made a huge, big move on the turn wide. And I just think he flattened out the last 16th of a mile. And I think, you know, when this horse comes back and runs his next start, he's going to be much fitter, hopefully have a little bit better trip. And he's definitely a horse that I would expect to win next time.
Very good. I was hoping it was yesterday for the Dark Horse Play. But again, I thought it was a very good effort as well. And you're always running into somebody up here. But going back to August 6th, they ran into you. And I'd love your opinion on Empire Island. This is a very nice debut effort. Again, going back to August 6th, Empire Island's going to be the number 1 horse. Really nice win in the debut effort. Your thoughts on this one?
This is another filly that wasn't 100% cranked for the race. We sent her up here with the idea that she was going to run opening day. She was well meant for that day. She spiked the temperature. She missed two works. So I ran a horse that I thought was going to get tired. I ran her from a post position. I don't normally run a horse with a first-time starter. The rail is very hard to navigate. And she won regardless of all those things. This is a filly that I think is, you know, it's probably her and Rhyme Schemes 1 and 1A of the best two-year-olds in the barn right now. Up in the air about what I'm going to do with her next. The Spinaway just seems like it's going to be such a salty race. And I think it took a lot out of her to win the other day. I mean, listen, she may work her way into that spot if we feel that way, but I'm not convinced that that's where we need to run yet. This is a filly that I think is a Breeders' Cup type filly, so we need to try to figure out the best way to get her to that.
Certainly nice to run up the inside there to get it done. And, yeah, from leaving from the one in the debut effort. And you had plenty of time before the Spinaway to make those decisions.
Yeah, it just seems like this is a year that it's just, you know, Chad had a debut runner that day that looked like she could be any kind. The filly that won the Adirondack ran really well. It just seems like it's going to be a salty spot to come back and try to win or run well in a race like that after the big effort from mine when we knew she wasn't 100% ready for the race that she won. So, you know, that's a recipe for a regression, in my opinion. So we just got to monitor the way that she's training and make a decision based on what she's doing.
Do you look at that, you get a two-year-old with a big effort, do you treat that maybe a little bit differently as far as how you space the next race?
I think you have to. I think that's one of the things that kind of separates the good from the great trainers. I have to be realistic.
Yeah.
I basically the play was run her that day. She's not going to win. Come back, break her maiden, Spinaway day. More than likely, they're going to run the same race. And now we're in this position where we won, but it took a lot out of it to win, and now you got to come back and run in an extremely salty race. So it's just a matter of just making the right decision for her, and you know, we'll let her make that choice.
And I also have to ask you, because you know, you've been around the game for years and years with your father and beyond. You had to appreciate the history of that one winning up here at Saratoga on Whitney weekend with the Mary Lou Whitney Silks.
I don't know how I'm blessed to represent her, but somehow they entrusted me with that, and that's something I do not take for granted. It's when you walk around this town, you're reminded of her every day. You realize that a lot of this wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for her, and then I'm the one that they've chosen to represent her and use those iconic colors. And that's, you know, there's... I feel just as much pressure running a race like that with Empire Island as I do running in the Saratoga Special today, just because of how meaningful she is to this town in particular, and I'm just super proud to be her representative.
Yeah, I mentioned to a couple people that day, it was a lot of fun to see her Silks come down the lane like that, because she has always been such an important part of Saratoga, and remains so after her passing as well. We talked about the good meet. I'm curious, do you come into the meet with a goal, and how are you doing so far? I mean, you have to be thrilled with your Saratoga meet so far.
This place has been so hard on me and Dad that it's like, you don't really have many expectations. I basically picked a group of horses that I knew would be that I felt like that could run well here and legitimate perfect spots for them, and so far, and I got to give a lot of credit to my team up here. They do a great job. I got to give a lot of credit to Ricardo, who's been riding everything for me as well. He's been riding really well, and things just seem to be clicking for the first time for me here. So not taking it for granted, just kind of enjoying the ride, and it makes you want to do more here. Like before, it was just almost like, ugh, I got to go back up to Saratoga, get my butt kicked. You start winning some races, you start realizing this is special, and I'm very, very proud of what we've been doing.
You should be, because, again, it's been a very good meet. We wish you a lot of good luck today with Rhyme Schemes and going forward as well with some of these horses. And, again, over at Ellis tomorrow in the debutante, wish you good luck going forward with the new addition to the family, and say hello to Gabby for us as well. But we appreciate the visit. We know it's always a busy time up here.
Thank you. I always like coming on. Thank you for having me on.
Appreciate it. Norm Cassie. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Jeff Carl's in the house. We'll do a little handicapping for this afternoon and more. Stay tuned.
Turn your love of racing into savings with equine discounts through the NTRA. Purchase through equine discounts and receive great savings on well-known brands like John Deere, Sherwin-Williams, Big Ass Fans, Farmers Insurance, and Office Depot. Join thousands of other equine members and support companies that give back to the sport we all love. Call 866-678-4289 or visit equinediscounts.com to start saving today.
Sometimes it pays to go with the flow, to check your worries at the door, to reconnect with your crew, to follow the thrills and the flavor, to roll with it and see where it takes you, to enjoy every minute to its fullest, and to dance like there's no tomorrow. You can do that here at Rivers Casino and Resort Schenectady, where the good times flow.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Yeah, I promised before the break, our friend Jeff Carroll in the house. Used to sit here as co-host for many years, and former jockey, former trainer. But I saw Jeff at the sales the other night. He's handicapping this summer for the Gazette. Did it last summer as well. So I said, Jeff, we'll get you over and do a little handicapping. Jeff, good morning.
Well, good morning, Seth. It's kind of cool to be back here. It really is. I mean, I think it's been about 6 or 7 years, but very nice to be on the set with you and to join you on a beautiful morning like this.
Yeah, always fun to have you back. And you know, you always come over a couple times during the meet and visit with us. And mm-hmm. so fun to get you on board and allow you to see some of the viewers that haven't seen you in a while now and maybe update things and whatnot. And again, it's the sales the other night. You and your lovely wife, Sherry, were over there.
Yeah.
Fun seeing you guys. And there were some fireworks down the street. I always say, yeah, they gamble over here. Down the street, they really gamble.
Oh, they certainly do. And, you know, we didn't see the $4 million horse go. We were out to dinner with some friends, but we just stopped in. And, yeah, it's just exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting to see that kind of you know, that money being generated for those yearlings and the promise that they bring and then the hope that they bring.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
No question about it. And I always recommend going to the sales. If you didn't get up Monday and Tuesday, New York bred sales tomorrow, Sunday, and Monday. Monday's in the daytime, though, so keep that in mind as well. I think it kicks off at noon. Tomorrow it's a nighttime thing. So, again, New York bred sales have become popular over the last few years as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
They're fun. Let's talk a little bit about the career. The former jockey, former trainer, and I was going to try to pull up the replay, but we're going back to 1995. Jeff Carroll, and so the replay, I looked on YouTube. I couldn't find it. But Night Facts, you pulled off a win in the Delaware Handicap back in 1995. Memories of that?
Oh, well, it was for Billy Turner. And I was not her regular rider, but with it being a handicap, she got weighted at 108 pounds.
Oh, I'm 100 now.
Yeah. And I could do 108 then. I'm 119 now, but I could do 108 then, which means you have to weigh about 105. But anyway, I was riding some for Mr. Turner. Donnie Miller was riding Night Facts on a regular basis, and Donnie would have had to chop his right leg off to do 108. And so Mr. Turner came to me about a month before because he was planning for the race. And he said, Jeff, I'm going to run this filly in the Delaware Handicap. He had run her in a turf stake at Penn National. She was third. He says, but she's got this German breeding in the dam side, and she's really bred to run a mile and a quarter. And I really think she has a shot, and I want you to work her, okay? So Mr. Turner, I mean, he trained some good ones, right? When he tells you that, you know, you really do pay mention to it. And then, you know, I worked her. She wasn't the prettiest filly in the world. In fact, she was quite homely. But she felt good underneath me, felt like a horse that could get that mile and a quarter. So I said, yeah, absolutely, we'll go. So Donnie actually ended up riding a horse for Michael Dickinson. Was it Hey?
It's personal.
It's personal. And I think they're all favored, maybe. Anyway, it was...
Hazel, that was the favorite. It's Personal was the second choice. They were both 2-1.
So, but Donnie was thinking he was in a good spot anyway.
Yeah, they're both 2-1.
And it was 102 degrees. That I remember. Oh. And to do 108 pounds, I didn't eat or drink a lot for several days. So I crossed the scales, took a little bit of water, not too much, but it was 102 degrees. I'll never forget that. And again, going out in the paddock and just standing next to Mr. Turner. I mean, I grew up watching Seattle Slough. To me, it was really surreal just to stand next to him in the paddock, let alone get instructions from him. And actually, he never gave instructions. He only just gave you encouragement. You know, that's the kind of gentleman he was. And he said, Jeff, just remember what I told you. This filly is bred to run a mile and a quarter. And pace ended up being a lot slower than anticipated, and I was laying about fourth up the backstretch.
24-49, 114.
Yeah, and then John Luzzi was on a horse. I can't remember her name. Cavada?
Cavada, you got it.
There
you
go.
Yeah, very good.
John Luzzi was on Cavada. Donnie was on It's Personal.
It's Personal.
And we turned for home, and I think I'd edged up to third, and they kicked away from me because the pace was so slow. And mid-stretch, I'm thinking, I'm going to be third. That's not bad. But then, you know what? I'm going to keep trying. Put the stick in my left hand, hit her a couple times. She hit another gear. And actually, when I went by Donnie, he looked over at me and he says, get him. Right? So he was very happy that I won, too. So it was a great memory. And I tell you one thing for sure, you know, it was a pretty good crowd that day. You know, I mean, it was Delaware Handicap, a big race. And a lot of cheering, a lot of everything. I heard one person cheering. One. And that was my wife, Sherry. I knew exactly where she was. It's just one of those things you always remember.
Funny. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, that's when you have a real connection, is that I heard one person only.
And we have to mention, you know, we said you went by the two favorites there. You were the rank outsider in the field. $55 and change for that.
That was really cool. And what was really interesting is afterwards, Mr. Turner doing this interview where, he won the Triple Crown. But he said that was always a race he wanted to win because he grew up in that area. Okay. He grew up in Pennsylvania. He remembered all the great mares that won the Delaware Handicap. So to be able to deliver that to him, you know, it was really a cool moment.
Excellent. Yeah. I also looked up, and, your early career, a lot of time in New York, and I looked up, and if I counted right, because I was doing Equibase, so I was going down 89 up here at Saratoga. You had 6 wins. Were you still an apprentice?
I was
because
an apprentice.
If you were, 6 for an apprentice up here is very.
Yeah, I crossed the wire first 7 times.
Okay,
I got DQ'd my first one. And it was. I mean, to me, that was a lot. It was only 4 weeks then. So, and I tell you, that ride in Colony and.
I was gonna say going again. Yeah.
I mean, I looked to my left. There's 3 Hall of Famers that way. There's 4 that way. I mean, Jerry and Angel and Jacinto and Maple. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And, they were great teachers also.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you were a willing student, they were so generous with their knowledge and their time. Angel would watch replays with you and, kind of it would really help you out. But my first time I won was for Mac Miller. And it was a maiden on the grass and going on the backstretch. Jose Santos was on a Phipps horse. And he had me pinned down on the rail, and I was clipping heels going into the turn, and just couldn't get her back. And finally, we hit the bend of the turn, and I said, I got to do something to get out of here. And I kind of put my shoulder in the Jose and bounced him out a little bit, which back then, was frowned on. So the funny thing was we crossed the wire first, right? And I came up under Sidney Waters, who was very good friends with Mac Miller. Right, and that was when they didn't have the quick official, right?
Oh, you had to come back and weigh out.
We had to come back and weigh out.
Yeah, right.
So now I'm walking back through the grandstand. I got Sidney Waters on one shoulder, Mac Miller on the other, and they're going, "Boy, he can really ride. This boy, Sidney, you told me he could get the job done. And I'm really so happy." Blah blah blah. And I knew, and my numbers started blanking. So the next morning, they took me down. Jose, to his credit, went into the movies with me the next day and said, look, Jeff had no choice. I mean, he was either going to clip heels or he was going to come out.
Yeah,
and I was trying to hold him in. He really had no choice.
Yeah.
So they didn't give me days.
But
they did take my horse down, you know. But the next morning, doing that walk of shame over to Mac Miller's barn, because I hadn't seen him since we actually got DQ'd. So I'll never forget, he was where Billy Mott is now. And he's grazing a horse, and I just, doing that walk of shame, walking over there, and I says, Mr. Miller, I'm just so sorry. I got my head down. He just looked at me and said, son, that's racing.
Yeah.
He goes, we'll get him next time.
Good.
Just a gentleman horseman. Again, very privileged and honored to be able to ride for him and Sidney Waters, come up under Sidney Waters. I was there in the quick call days. P.G. Johnson, Mr. Jerkins, just be able to ride for them. It was just an honor. It's a privilege.
The story on Alan Jerkins, he'd give a lot of jockeys, tries and starts and whatnot, but the word is he wasn't that easy on the jockeys.
No, he would yell at us a little bit here and there, and his voice would always go up about 4 octaves when he did. And I'll never forget one day I was riding a horse for him at Belmont, and it was a Nijinsky filly, and he wanted to try her in the grass. And he said, Jeff, she's bred for the grass, we just want to see if we can get anything out of her. And I was sitting in a real good spot turning for home. And but 3rd or 4th, and when I went to knuckle on her a little bit to get it, just nothing happened.
Yeah, yeah.
She just didn't kick in. She just kind of leveled off. So we go back. Now we're in the tunnel at Belmont. And he says, what happened, Jeff? I said, Mr. Jerkins, I said, I was in a good spot, but when I really asked the question, she just didn't kick on. And his voice went about 4 octaves, and he said, everybody else gets Nijinskys that can run. I get one that can't leap and run, and he throws his program in the air, and he tries to kick it on the way down. He almost falls down. And he's a mountain of a man.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at him like, and it's echoing in the tunnel. I'm looking at him like, oh, my goodness, he's never going to speak to me again. So I go into the stairway that goes down to the jocks room. Richard Miglieri and Jean-Luc Semina, and they're laughing their butts off. They saw the look on my face, and they said, Jeff, don't worry about it. That's just Mr. Jerkins. He's going to forget all about it. You go by the barn in the morning, he's going to put his arm around you and say, you know, we'll try again. Yeah. You know.
That's great. The stories on Alan Jerkins and the jockeys are kind of legendary.
Well, so. I won a race for him here. Sarah, it was a two-year-old maiden filly, first-time starter. And he never gave you a lot of instructions. They only paid back the fourth money then.
Yeah.
You know, so you go in the paddock, he'd say, you know, Jeff, you know, remember, you know, fourth money pays the bill, it's a check, right? Yeah. So I get on this filly. She was by Chief's Crown, the name was Crown Quest. And I get on her. She's a big, stout thing, right? I never worked her in the morning. And the track was muddy, and that's when muddy was muddy here. Yeah, yeah. You know, they didn't seal it or anything like that. So it was pretty muddy. I think we're going 5/8. And assistant starter's getting ready to load me, and he said, did Chief say anything about this filly? I said, no. He goes, they really like her. I'm like, okay, I like her too then. You know? So the gate's open, and she literally walks out of the gate. I mean, she walks out. I'm 13 lengths behind the field at the half-mile pole. But I'm thinking to myself, all right, Chief's going to want me to try to get something out of this, you know. So I tap her on the shoulder. I figure I'd run her up in there. This filly took off like you wouldn't believe. She's running so fast around the turn, and I got Angel outside me. I said, Angel. And he turned around, and he goes, get out of his way! This filly was rolling, and ended up, she won by like 4 or 5. It was a centennial filly, and because I was at Prince, I never saw her again. I mean, she ended up, Julie rode her down at the Meadowlands, and I think she won a minor stake somewhere. But, a few years later, I'm training horses, and I was down in Maryland. I brought a horse, hold it. It was a nice turf horse. Brought him up here to run him in the Bernard Baruch. And so this is, I don't know how many years later, 10 years later at least. And we came up here a couple days ahead of time, and I'm out in the racetrack, and I pulled him right up here, and I was right alongside Mr. Jerkins' pony, on his pony. And he says, Jeff, is that you? I said, yeah, Mr. Jerkins, it's me. And I said, Tony, that goes, wow, your horse looks good. Wish you the best of luck. I said, well, it's so good to see you, Mr. Jerkins. And I started to jog away, and he goes, hey, Jeff. I said, well, he goes, remember that filly in the mud? I said, of course I do.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, very good. One of the legends around the racetrack, certainly.
Yeah. Sorely missed.
Always fun to hear the stories and the reminiscences and whatnot. But let's get to today. Mm-hmm. Again, you're handicapping this season as you were last season in the Gazette. So I said to you, come on over and we'll take a look at some of the action today. Let's kick things off looking in the fifth maiden specials going 7 furlongs. I couldn't get past the Pletcher horse, who I think has a little bit of breeding. But the Asmussen horse on the outside, interesting to me. And Reynolds Channel going out for Lee Einsiedler, I think, has a nice little look to be a debut runner. But what did you see in the fifth?
Well, I went with Carlos Martin, Richard runner. I mean, he was second to Hall, you know, in his debut early July. It's going to add blinkers. And we'll see how good, you know, I mean, how we can, you know, adjust with Hall, how Ridgewood runner runs in the fifth.
Barometer horse.
It's a barometer horse. There you go. And I just think with that race under his belt, yes, eliminate Todd's horse by Curlin. Has some really, really nice works. But does have an inside post. Not a big, bulky field. Does have an inside post. 7/8 is a little bit taxing on a two-year-old. It's not 6. It's not, you know, it's an elongated sprint. So if I'm going to take a shot, I'm going to go with Ridgewood Runner with Carlos Martin. And again, going back to my riding days, Carlos had just started out on his own when I was an apprentice. I remember we scored a big one at Belmont.
Okay.
His grandfather, Frank Martin, put me on a couple winners here in Saratoga that meet. So there's a little bit of a tie there. And, there's other first-time starters that are very intriguing. And to me, the two-year-old races are still the most exciting races for me here.
Totally agree, and I like betting them because you can look up the breeding and things and find something that maybe isn't on the page for everybody. Eighth race day, speaking of two-year-old Saratoga Special, and again, had Norm Cassie on. The horse, I said, could go back 20 points on the buyer and still get it done, Rhyme Schemes. But Hall and Edified, I think, are players in here as well. Market Street, it's Wayne Lucas. What did you see in the Saratoga Special?
Yeah, I mean, I did put Market Street on top.
Right.
Again, just looking
the
for
coach.
A little bit of value. You know, he did win first time out in the slop. So they are calling for some thunderstorms today. I just looked at the Weather Channel app before I got here. They're calling about 5 o'clock. They might start.
All
so post time for the special, I believe, is 5:06. But I'm going to take a shot with Mr. Lucas's horse. You know, I mean, he is a street sense, so the extra distance shouldn't hurt him. You know, when he ran this at Stanford, he stumbled leaving the gate. He did recover pretty quickly, but then he was dueling for the lead.
Yeah.
You know, won the battle but lost the war.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. And again, if Norm Cassie's horse runs back that to what he did in his last start out at Ellis with that 94 buy rhyme schemes, again, a ghost zapper, so you think even if there's a little bit of mud, even extra distance,
yeah,
isn't going to hurt. Edified, you know, is interesting. Won his debut, but almost at 10-1, which is, you know, for Steve Asmussen trainee,
yeah,
to go off at 10-1 at Ellis
Park.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, would they really think he was that good? But they'll find out today. And again, Hall, he did, you know, I mean, nothing wrong with him. I think it's an interesting race.
It is, absolutely.
It's a very interesting race. But again, going to take a little bit of a shot with Market Street.
10-1 on the morning line for the coach. I like it. the ninth today, the four-star day. I had to go. I always like to root for Lee Hindside, learn Casa Creed, just a nice winner of the Kells. So can he put two like that together? I don't know, but the workout reports seem okay, so I'm going there. But Annapolis, Emmanuel for Todd Pletcher, certainly solid contenders. What did you see in the four-star day?
Yeah, I put Annapolis on top, yeah, this time. You know, he was like 2.5 months in between starts before he came into the Kelso. So, you know, and Casa Creed, all the respect in the world for him. And I mean, this Billy Mott guy, I think he's getting the hang of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. No, but he does. Obviously, Billy does a good job. But I think Casa Creed got a little bit of a jump on Annapolis last time, and Annapolis maybe wasn't as tight as Todd need him to be able to run him down. But I think that's going to be reversed today. And again, Casa Creek, can he do it two in a row?
Two in a row. That's,
you know,
that's big efforts.
That's big efforts.
Yeah.
I actually put the Ice Chocolat in the second spot.
I had that forced down the fourth spot and I thought it was interesting.
You remember my days sitting on you.
Yeah,
I always like to have a nice exacta. You know, and I think that's a horse you can throw in there that really didn't run that badly,
yeah,
in the Kelso. You know, with a cleaner break today, should be able to, a little bit more forwardly placed. And so, hey, we'll take a shot there.
I like it. All right. Yeah. Jeff, appreciate the visit. Had fun with the conversation this morning, a little reminiscing and whatnot. Again, wanted to get you back in so folks could kind of catch up a little bit. It's been a while, and it was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Do it again. I told you, if you get in trouble, you know, just give me a holler. 5 minutes I live away from here. I did have to shave this morning. It's an off day, but, you know, it was worth it.
You're on the lake. How's the lake been this year?
Lake's been good.
Nice. Out on the boat?
A couple times,
The weather's been a little fun.
Yeah, you know, we have the benefit that, you know, we can just look out our window.
And
if it's nice, we go. If it's not, we just... It's no fun if it's choppy out there. We don't have a monster boat.
No.
One thing I will tell you about Saratoga Lake, we've been there 15, 17 years now. The boats are getting bigger, and the houses are getting bigger.
Well, yeah.
So we've just got a little 17-footer, and they come by us, and they're,
I'm envious, so I'd love to be out on the lake.
Oh, come out sometime.
Jeff, appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right, we'll take a break. He's in the house, Travis Stone, track announcer down at Churchill Downs. We'll get a little handicapping advice from him for this afternoon. We'll talk a little Churchill and more. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Just watch the races when you can be in the middle of the action. For nearly 20 years, Bonaventure Stables' share-based ownership program has made thoroughbred ownership affordable for the everyday fan. Ownerships of 5 and 10% are now available on a nice selection of horses. As a partial owner with Bonaventure Stables, you'll enjoy all the benefits afforded every owner. Visit with your horse in the private stable area. Greet the trainers and jockeys in the paddock. And when your horse wins, savor the moment in the winner's circle at Saratoga, Belmont, Aqueduct, or wherever you bring home the prize. Based in historic Saratoga Springs, Bonaventure Stables has been training winners and creating memories since 2005. Learn more, see available horses, and meet our team at bonaventurestables.com.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Yes, as promised before the break, it's our friend Travis Stone, track announcer down at Churchill Downs. We'll do a little handicapping, talk a little Churchill. Travis, good morning.
How are we doing?
Very good.
Beautiful morning. Hopefully the rain stays away long enough to get us through this.
Yeah. When you come to town, you stay up with the family at Scroon Lake?
I do. I'm in town this week, and my girlfriend works over at the sales, so we have a spot this week. But other than that, yeah, I head back and forth when we want to come down. And I brought my dog up, so my parents are babysitting her today.
What kind of a dog is it?
She's a mutt, but she's older, and she's a lot of fun. So, yeah.
Jamie Begg was here yesterday with his mutt, who was very – he came up and did the whole segment, and the dog just sat on the cart and looked over here. Yeah. And
so, mine would not stay still. I'd have to wrangle her.
I was kind of amazed at that. Yeah. You say your girlfriend works over at the sale, and I saw you over there the other night. Man, there were some fireworks over there.
Yeah. I wasn't bidding. But, I mean, that's just – one of the things I say in this industry is that there's two sides to it, what we do on the racing side and what happens over there. Even though we're intertwined with racing, like it's just a totally different ballgame. It's fantasy land, it really is.
I tell people, you think they're gambling over here? Go two blocks down the street.
Yeah. Much higher takeout over there. Yeah. much higher. Yeah.
Unraced yearling, $3 million. God bless you. Yeah. The spring was a little bit interesting, obviously, with Churchill and the situation, but the recent news is you guys are firing up with the fall meet as normal.
Rolling back. Yeah, that was it was a shame because it was such a fun derby. It really was. Yeah. I mean, the atmosphere this year was unlike any other ones I've been to, and obviously we had some of the issues pop up. You know, they've looked at the track. They've tested it. They've made a couple of adjustments here or there, so hopefully that pushes us through. And, I mean, you know, feeling it a little bit up here, too. I mean, you know, the sport... we can make it safer. It's never going to be 100% safe, and it's about finding the right avenues to make it as safe as possible. But looking forward to being back. The turf course should be in good shape, and we've got our September meet down there is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we bang out 3 weeks with good stakes races, and then, of course, the November meeting, you just never know who's going to debut there. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
And that's something I've said for the last few years, I think, both in September and later on in the fall. I think the two-year-olds at Churchill that this time of year are horses you want to look forward to as three-year-olds next year.
The money in Kentucky is out of this world. And you've seen it up here. I mean, even the two-year-old race here the other day, the three Kentucky horses ran 1, 2, 3. I was looking at some statistics. Horses that made their last start in Kentucky are winning at a very strong clip, particularly Ellis, in terms of prior year compared to prior year numbers. It's a very strong circuit right now. And you know, it helps to have a race like the Derby there and, you know, in the hotbed of racing.
And I've said for 2 or 3 years now that Ellis Summer Meet is very productive as well.
Yeah.
With the two-year-olds. And this year, their purses have bounced up nicely under the auspices of Churchill. Yeah. And speaking of that, with the situation at Churchill, things got moved over to Ellis. Was that the first time you called there?
It was. I'd been there once. We went one afternoon. Norm had a horse in, my friend Norm Cassie, and we went over there, rooted for him, drank some beers, and had a good time. This time was more of a work trip. I wish I could. I mean, I like all racetracks. They all have charm and character. They all have their, you know, idiosyncrasies. I rolled in about 2.5 hours to post time because I'd never been there, wanted to get a lay of the land, and there was not a seat available downstairs. All the picnic tables were full. The fans there love racing. They support it. There's a beer garden, and they just have a rowdy good time all afternoon. It's a cool spot. It really is.
I got to get out there. And is there still a pea patch?
Apparently, I don't even know if it's peas. It's called the pea patch. Soybeans, maybe, is what they said it is. But, you know, it's there, and each week you see it getting a little bit bigger and bigger. Yeah,
very good. And what, 2.5 hours or so from your home
it's
base?
It's right at two. Right at 2 hours out of Louisville. You know, traffic, yeah.
All right, I would love to get down there, certainly. So, again, looking forward to the action, get back to Churchill. It is always fun to hear you because when I have the Clancy's or Tom Law and every Wednesday in a rotation, and certainly the first couple of visits, we always talk about the interns and just the people who have gone through the Saratoga Special over the year. And right up in amongst the notables at the top of the list, Travis Stone. And I always mention, I remember nowadays there's podcasts. Everybody got, you were probably the pioneer doing the little, internet radio show out of the closet.
I called it Travis at the Track. And, you know, it's funny how the world works. Rick Dutrow. spent 20 minutes on that podcast with me one morning. I don't even know if it was a podcast then.
Like I said, you were a pioneer. It was just internet radio or whatever.
Right when he had St. Liam. Remember St. Liam? And I always respect him for that because it was a good 20 minutes. Here I am. I'm in high school, maybe at college, actually. And he was willing to spend the time with me. And then he won the Whitney.
Yeah, I thought about that a bunch of times. Like, you were a groundbreaker because now podcasts are a thing. Then it was...
Somehow, though, I didn't manage to make millions in it. I should have... still got
to
work.
You had to kind of patent the idea. Sometimes it works, sometimes not so much. All right, let's jump in for this afternoon and do a little handicapping. When you sat down, we said, let's take a look at that late pick five. Are you a pick five player? What's your favorite play at the track?
I like to pick five. I actually really like to pick six on a conventional basis. So I like to play those when...
Did you play yesterday? Yesterday, I thought, was a crazy payout. I thought it was very habitable for 17,000.
A lot of times those off-the-turf races don't get bet properly in the multi-race sequences. I think
you're right.
But no, I like the pick five. I have always been partial to wagers like the superfecta, though. I love to build the complex and find a long shot to sneak in there.
What's your formula?
If you can envision, I don't do a triangle. I don't focus up top and spread down below. I actually do it the other way around.
Okay.
Sort of like a diamond. So I key a few horses up top, spread in the middle legs, and try and find one or two decent-priced horses that are going to come on for third and fourth that people tend to forget about. And
that's so interesting. Yeah. Vic on his radio show coming into some big days like Derby or whatnot will talk to people that formulate tickets like that and find a little price to put
differently. Yeah, everybody's trying to find winners. It's hard to win. It's a lot easier to run third and fourth.
You
know, the way races shake out. Yeah. So I build it from the bottom up.
And people might be surprised if you get a horse in at the bottom of one of those tries or supers, it can kick the price.
Especially
up
if you sneak him into third, where all the boxers they've eliminated that horse. Yeah, you're in a good spot. Yeah.
All right, let's jump in. Pick five this afternoon kicks off in the Galway. Race number 7, 150,000, 5.5 on the grass. I couldn't get past Wesley's horse, who just looks so good in the seasonal debut. Has had plenty of time off to recoup. Stone Silent, I thought, was interesting for Asmussen. Beauty of the Sea at a little bit of a price coming in off the stakes win down at Monmouth. It was intriguing. Love Appeals for Christophe Clement. What did you see in the 7th?
I ultimately decided to punt on the Monmouth race because I thought the pace was real sharp and a couple of horses had good trips in there. It won't be surprising to me if Wesley wins. That horse was pretty stout at Keeneland with all that trouble it had at mid-stretch. I'm going to try Stone Silent. Okay. I don't know if there's a ton of gas in here, and she's really quick. She might not love that extra 16th of a mile coming off the Indiana Grand 5 furlong efforts, but a lot of times these turf sprints at Saratoga, they get loose on that far turn. They're tough to run down.
And you're making a great point. As I'm looking here, there aren't a lot of ones on the page other than Stone Silent.
Yeah, I think she could be 2-3 clear early, and I'll gamble on that.
Yeah, I like that. 8th race this afternoon, the Saratoga Special. We had Norman earlier. He was the first guest talking a little rhyme schemes. Boy, off of that buyer. I said on the handicapping show earlier, the horse can go back 20 points on the buyer and still maybe have an edge on this bunch. But that's the question mark. Norm was skeptical of the number. So we'll see. Yeah. And if you are, then Hall and Edified are interesting. Market Street from Wayne Lucas. What did you see in the special?
When the morning line odds came out and Norm said, now I'm nervous because he wanted to be a little bit of an underdog. Because you know how these things go. When you get the big number and the easy win. The only thing I'll say is I felt that pace was a little bit on the soft side.
And we are looking at Hall here.
A contender. I'm not so bullish on Hall. I'm against rhyme schemes a little bit today. Won't be surprised if he rolls. 5 of the 8 winners that day at Ellis all went wire to wire. It felt like the racetrack sort of inflated that number a little bit. Hall's fine. Ran fine. I don't love the race. I don't think a couple of the horses that came out of there ran all that well. I'm going to try Edified with... I'm fully admitting, I don't know if he's fast enough, but I thought his debut was very professional. He was sort of forward, backed off the pace, did everything Joel wanted, tipped out and ran down a horse with the benefit of a start prior to him. I think Steve is showing some confidence bringing him up here rather than waiting for some of the races in Kentucky that are coming up. And a horse came out of that race to come up here and win. Don't know if he's fast enough, but I think he's going to sit the right trip, and if Rhyme Schemes is vulnerable late, maybe he's won.
July 1st, you were there that day.
I was, yes. Yeah, ran well. Ran
right,
very well.
So you saw it in person. All right. Also pulled up a replay for this race. Casa Creed pulled up a replay of the Kelso. We'll see Casa Creed in Annapolis make a little late effort after him. I I always have to root for Lee, and off of the nice win last time. Can he string two together? I don't know, but he looked good there. Workout reports seem okay, so I'll tilt toward Castle Creed, but the two Pletcher horses, Annapolis and Emmanuel, seem tough in here, too. What did you see in the four-star day?
I'm going to take Annapolis to turn the tables. I felt like Castle Creed was able to get the jump on him last time. Annapolis, I don't want to say it was a bad ride, because it wasn't. He barely lost. Maybe a little too passive for the way the race shook out. I think there's more gas in here, and I think he's going to be sharper. Emmanuel is interesting to me. If Casa Creed lays an egg today, I think a Pletcher exact is very much in the mix, but I think it's ultimately going to have to be Annapolis running down Casa Creed.
Yeah, I think it's a seven-horse field, but a fun field in there. In the feature, 10th race this afternoon, we're looking at starter allowance types coming out of the one-mile shoot, which has been very popular up here this year.
Yeah.
I have it 2, 3, 6, and 9. I put Forest City on top. Not with a lot of confidence, but I thought it was intriguing. Comes in from the Midwest and goes into the Bill Mott barn. Robertina Diodoro off the claim is always potent, but been a little cool at the meet. Chico Bella, the six horse, being lately raced was intriguing to me as well. Memphis for the red-hot Linda Rice, although the past week or so maybe has cooled off slightly, but what are your thoughts on the 10th?
I don't love the post for Memphis. I actually have two ideas in here that I think are a little bit wild, and between your picks and my picks, I think we got them all covered. I think What's Up Doc is somewhat interesting, with some good races dappled throughout the form. Is well posted in here. I think there's a little bit of gas to the outside. I project sort of a decent trip for him. My one idea, because I do think this pace could get a little bit tired late. I think that could go quick early. I think Skylander, talk about the superfectas. I think Skylander's a horse that I'll build superfectas around to run fourth or third.
Okay.
Probably mostly fourth. I don't know if he's quite good enough to get climb up the ticket that much. Just a consistent sort of steady closer. Didn't have much luck last time in terms of pace or the way the race shook out, in my opinion, and I just think he could be coming late at a big price.
Now I may have to put him in the mix underneath at that 21 price and just play around a little bit in that arena. The 11th and final today scheduled to go off at about 6:50, a mile and a 16th on the grass. For state bred allowance types, I tilted towards Waterville. I thought Stella Mars was intriguing in here. Salib for Mike Maker. I'm going to draw a line through the last race. The horse had some trouble in there. I think we'll rebound. And Rayum for Delphi Racing Club, I think, could be an interesting player as well. And I probably would have moved Rayum up except for the 10, you know, the outside post position.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we can fade some of the weather that they're forecasting, because it does look like it could be a little bit dicey. To me, this was an annoying race because I don't love anybody, and it's one of those where I want to start to dance around with some square prices and watch a horse like Waterville run well, who I do think is going to sit a good trip. Adding blinkers might sharpen this horse up a little bit. I had a hard time finding the pace in here. I didn't know if there was a ton of it, and maybe Galleyhead can take them wire to wire.
Oh, okay. All right.
A little bit of a wild idea. I don't like this race, so this is one of those. There was an adage I was once taught. When you have races where they're competitive on figures and you don't really love anybody, start to hunt the bombs, because bad horses win bad races. Yeah. Not that these are necessarily bad horses.
Katie Davis on board. She's having a nice little meet as well.
Photon
with Irad has a little bit of early speed, but does get hung outside.
Yeah, that race last time, even though the leader opened up a little bit, I don't think the pace was all that sharp. And Irad, I mean, I get it. He's the best rider in America, but he does cause you a few dollars
in
the odds column when he rides here.
Yeah. There's no question about that. Travis, we wish you a lot of good luck today. We appreciate your stopping by. Enjoy the rest of the summer up here. When do you head? You stick around for the whole meet? And then
we'll probably head back because the Keeneland sales start the week after Labor Day. So probably head back sometime between Travis and Labor Day. Let the weather dictate terms. Yeah, we'll see.
Always good to see you. Appreciate the visit this morning.
Enjoyed it.
All right. Travis Stone, track announcer at Churchill Downs, and more. Some ideas on the late pick five at Saratoga today. All right, we'll wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Right now, it is a beautiful Saturday, so certainly the early portion of the day, Chamber of Commerce will knock wood and hope that holds out through the entire card, certainly. So if you're headed up, it's right now very, very nice weather. Don't forget Clubhouse Racebook today. There is the Play the Board contest. Tomorrow, the double promo day on Sunday, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. I'm going to wrap it up. Tomorrow, Loose on the Lead. My partner, Steve Bick, was down at Colonial. He will not be back, so I'll be solo tomorrow, but it'll still be fun, so you can tune in for that. Enjoy the rest of the day. Cash some tickets. Have some fun watching the network. And tomorrow we're back on 9 a.m. Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. Loose on the Lead. See you then.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku.
The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTB.com.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. And the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. When you can't make it to the track, make it to the Clubhouse Racebook.